ん、でね、ちょっと、ちょっと長年ちも。あ、変身の設置。うん。分部やで。うん。だ。うん。で、ちょっと長年ちもせや。え、だんで、え、
え、年賀感が出てよ、ち。え、天天でね、え、上座じゃちも。あ、天よね、え。え、だ。あ。新田ちも、ルルと共に、え、ラムソラスね、え、トマソンジュムネの準備、え、
天使も受理して、なんか願かんがんでてよ。天はね、死んだちもずるず透明人じ。え、三名なんじるまで、じゃあ、なんじるま。あ、ごまちたらかわしんで、でのがかよわしんで、死んだちもずるず透明人なんそうです。てんです。So the
teachings which will be based on the great graduate pattern enlightenment, it is a text within which is contained the essential important essence of all the teachings, covering very extensively various subjects within this essence. And these are the teachings which has been clarified by the two great charioteers of the teachings, Nagarjuna and Asanga, who have taken the 84,000 teachings of the Buddha and set it forth in the two features of the path known as the profound and the extensive graduated path to enlightenment. So within the explanations are the exact thoughts of the teachings of Buddha explained within by them.
So
this is a graduate path which is trained in all. Trained in by all the fortunate beings, and within this are all the subject matters without anything missing, and it is set forth in a step by step process, which is not kind of mixed up, but rather set forth in a series of practice. So this particular text is attributed with many advantages or special features. Which are not attributed to other texts.
And then, that's Chungju Lam Jerem Bas. And then, Chungju the Droba Chebe, Lam Cha Song Jin de Ten Yachi. And that's Chungju Sena, the Kandija Sagi or Sena, and Simjin Tamji Jula, and then Songjin Jurongi Chu, Simji Chuni, Rajin Neri Sayachi, Yodi Yachi. That day, Ani lam gom yung du, chima, cheta cheta du chi ne, thar, ani yung du du shi du, nyinga de namba chu yung du gong la, ani chong chu wu se ya de, chong chu chimbo wu se ya de, tanda. Tendi semji chu ni, du ni le namba chu wu ye, chu cha de la, ani chong chu chimbo wu se ya de. もう、日本語を教えてください。胸で日本語を教えてください。で、中日で、自分で言うと、この、で、天、中心、天、で、一緒に教えてください。で、この、電部、本気中の電部、コンサー、天、で、尊敬パパに教えてください。で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で
this graduate path to enlightenment is a complete path. enabling an individual to attain enlightenment. So what is enlightenment? Enlightenment is the state of an attainment in which all of our defilements, what is enlightenment is the potential within sentient beings to be able to attain in the graduate path to enlightenment is what enables sentient beings to attain that enlightenment. What is that enlightenment is the naturally abiding Buddha nature within us, which when trained in the path, then as sentient beings, when we train in the path, then as we gradually purify the defilements of our delusions, the obscurations of our delusions, and the obscuration to omniscience, obscuration to knowing, then this is when one is liberated of, freed of these obscurations, then one attains what is known as the great enlightenment, the enlightenment without, without remainder, the what is known as the Buddha's body of nature, Moniku, the Swabhokai, this enlightened state of the mind, which is free of the defilements, is what brings forth the result in it attaining the Dhammakaya, the transcendental wisdom body of the Buddha, and the individual attaining that, attains the state of the Arya Buddha, becomes an enlightened being. So, when we talk about the graduate path to enlightenment, then this is the path which enables us to achieve this result. So it is extremely fortunate to be able to listen and to be able to explain these teachings on the graduated path to enlightenment, because the graduated path to enlightenment contains the essence of the entire teachings of Buddha. So because of this, one has the advantage of being of being able to listen to the entire teachings of the Buddha, because it contains that. So like this, this is in that respect is fortunate. So it is said that being able to generate the understanding of the graduate path to enlightenment is even more beneficial than seeing being able to see the meditational deities and being able to generate the understanding of the graduate path to enlightenment is much more beneficial than being able to see the meditational deities, and through the power of a recitation of zillions of mantras where you grow back peace. 100 million mantras. Did you so too? One hundred million times mantras. Having recited 100 million times mantras, and seeing the meditation deity, compared to that, to have the understanding of the long run is more beneficial.
And And
as it is regarded, you know, this generating the understanding of the Lamrim is a powerful way to purify the obscurations of our negative karmas. It said that in places where there has been disharmony, you know, generated within a Sangha community, that kind of area is compared to like a burnt ground where nothing ever grows, where nothing ever grows. So even in such places, where nothing ever grows, due to that kind of inauspicious happening, in such places as these, then if somebody does their teaching, listening and explanation of the teachings on the graduate path to enlightenment, then when one undertakes this kind of activity, then this place becomes blessed to be able to regrow positive qualities and knowledge. So in this, such are the benefits stated. So in this context, we can say that generating the understanding of the graduate path to enlightenment is a powerful way of purifying as well. Even though for us at present we can see the great graduate path to enlightenment in the aspect of these scriptural writings, but in reality it is we can say it is Manjushri's, omniscient knowledge, wisdom, manifested in the aspect of these scriptures. To establish establishing the preeminent qualities of the text is to talk about the qualities of the author, Lama Tsongkhapa, who put this text together, who is regarded as the emanation of Manjushri. And even when Lama Tsongkhapa was born to the parents, the father and mother, they had very clear auspicious dreams, very clear auspicious dreams pointing to the fact that that Lama Tsongkhapa was in reality the manifestation of the three laws of the world, Manjushri, Chenrezig, and Vajrapani, the three laws of the world. And
So Chöche Tundra Rinpoche is a great practitioner of the Yamataka. Great yoga for Japan. So Chöche Tundra Rinpoche met a strong request to meet Yamataka. So Yamataka Yamataka told to Chöche Tundra Rinpoche by this time next year that you would meet me down there, down the valley. So then the next year, the Lama Tsongkhapa was reincarnated in the same area down in the valley. So then Chöche Rinpoche went down there and said, you know, Yamataka told me that he would meet me. So this is you. So by this story, it proves that Lama Tsongkhapa is Yamataka's wrathful aspect of Manjushri.
So even as a child, you know, Lama Tsongkhapa was very extraordinary. Even while playing as a child, often taking on the role of, you know, receiving teachings or, you know, giving teachings like that kind of, you know, showing qualities. By the age of seven, Lama Tsongkhapa had already taken on many teachings.
At
the age of three, Lama Tsongkhapa took on lay precepts from Chöche Tundra Rinpoche, and also under the same teacher, then took on Yamataka initiation, transmission, and so forth like that. Undertook teachings and practices under the guidance of Chöche Tundra Rinpoche until the age of 15. And at the age of 15, then Lama Tsongkhapa moved to central Tibet.
In
central Tibet, then Lama Tsongkhapa undertook the extensive studies in, you know, philosophy, you know, medicine, astrology, you know, grammar, like that. Did an extensive, complete form of studies, and then, besides, upon completing those studies, then withstood the test of many debates, formal debates, and so forth. And through these debates, established, became well reputed, well established, well known for his expertise or great learning, and then and in this way, you know, slowly had many, you know, did these activities in all the great in many great monasteries, and then also through these activities then came upon many students.
ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、ね、
So at the age of 33, Lama Tsongkhapa composed what is known as, you know, as a text known as the, you know, the Golden Rosary, Golden Garland, Golden Rosary, which was a commentary to the Mundogyan, you know, the Abhisamaya Alankara, the jewel ornament of clear realizations. It was Lama Tsongkhapa, the jewel ornament of clear realizations is a text which contains the essence of the Prajnaparamita, you know, you know, the 10,000 verses, 100,000 verses like this. It contains the essence of these Prajnaparamita sutras. So it was to this text, you know, that Lama Tsongkhapa composed a commentary known as the Sarvatthamma, you know, the Golden Rosary. So when other great eminent learned masters of that time, you know, who at that time, you know, hadn't encountered Lama Tsongkhapa or compared themselves as equally good as Lama Tsongkhapa, when they came upon this particular writing of his, you know, explanation, commentary, when they came upon, they were like so amazed by his comprehension. And then, you know, it was through this writing that Lama Tsongkhapa kind of cemented his great, you know, made the reality of fact, you know, made it known to everybody, that, you know, how extraordinary Lama Tsongkhapa's understanding was. So, and then these other scholars who up until then considered themselves as equal, it then started writing, you know, praises to Lama Tsongkhapa.
Tā tēnē tēnē lōma mōma tā chū sōng yīmbī kāp lā tēnē lōma mōma pāshu yā tē jū nē jīrīn jāmbē yō kē nē chā rē lā tēnē rūpa nyam nē nōng shōs tēnē lōma mōma pē tāndā kā nē lōma mōma tā chēnyē jā chū mō tēnē nōng yīmbī kāp lā tēnē chā rē chī rūpa lā tōng shā yī nā ngā mē kā sī kī rēs, kā pōng kī rēs sē tē kō ngā tēnē rūpa nyam jī mā nō nā tēmā lō pēnē tōg mā rēs ကျွန်တော်ကတော့နားကျရောင်းပါတယ်သဘောကောင်းလို့ဆုံးခြင်းနဲ့ဂျင်းမှာကျအဲဟောကဆောဆောဆောကြောင်းပါတယ်ခြေချံကိုတော့ဘာနမ်ကြီးတင်နေဖြစ်အဲ့ဒီဆောကြောင်းနေမှာရှိမောင်ရှင်နဲ့ရံမဒေါ်ရံမကတဲ့တဲ့မင်းရောက်ဖွင့်နေအဲ့ဒီဆံကအထားတွေ့ရှိရှာခဲ့တယ်အဲ့ဒီရံမကောင်းဆာဖွင့်ဒါတန်တဲ့ခြေနဲ့အဲတေကလာဆုံးခြင်းဆုံးရှာလာဆုံးခြင်းဆုံးရှာစရာအဲ့ဒါအထင်တကြီးပါလေ
So during that time when Lama Tsongkhapa was teaching very extensively and had a great following of students at that time, then he met one teacher of his, which Lama Umapa, and then through Lama Umapa, you know, was able to communicate with the Manjushri and Manjushri advised that Lama Tsongkhapa should go into retreat, and at that time should go into retreat, and because at that time, Lama Tsongkhapa was very actively teaching and had many disciples. Then he stated saying that he, you know, since due to those circumstances, then he would be criticized for, you know, going to retreat at such a phase. The answer to that, to Manjushri, answer saying that, you know, without going into retreat, there is no way you can benefit the Dharma and the sentient beings. So, and if, you know, if going into retreat brought on criticism, then one should, you know, one should be patient or tolerant of that. So, under this advice, then Lama Tsongkhapa went into the retreat in the hermitage known as Holka, where Lama Tsongkhapa practiced extensive purification, practices of purification and accumulation of merit, accumulation of merit through mandala offerings on a slab of stone, where you know, until the forearms were like bleeding, coughing mandala like that. And again, on another slab of stone, like making it directly see all the 35 Buddhas, and all of the 35 Buddhas like that, to it, you know, as a result of those practices. So, this was one time, one part of his life where he went into retreat together with some close disciples. So during Lama Tsongkhapa's lifetime, you know, Lama Tsongkhapa studied with many great eminent teachers of that time, even though he studied with many great teachers of that time, so when Lama Tsongkhapa he felt that he did not comprehend the complete meaning of a particular text or a particular point, then he brought it up as questions to be clarified to Manjushri directly. So Lama Tsongkhapa's study of the great text expositions were very, very complete, not only having studied with the great teachers, but even wherever he felt it was not complete, then was able to clarify that with Manjushri directly, giving all of giving the explanations. And so in this way, one can say that the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa is in this respect is like stainless, free of any kind of doubt. These are some of the particular advantages or the preeminent qualities of the author. So for the benefit of the Dharma and for the benefit of the sentient beings, then Lama Tsongkhapa in his lifetime composed 18 volumes writings. In amongst them, one of them that which is regarded as the main is the great the great
exposition on the graduate pattern enlightenment.
who brought forth the request or the inspiration for the writing of these teachings of this teaching, the graduated path enlightenment, was Kenshin, some of the Lama Tsongkhapa's great disciples, or Kenshin Balsang, like that. Rumchi mentioned a couple of the names of the disciples, as well as many others who made the request to Lama Tsongkhapa to put together a writing in which was contained the essence of all the teachings put forth in a graduated step by step form practice. So it was upon their request that this teaching was written, and the site of this writing took place in the holy place, in the extraordinary place known as Rating, which is the place made famous by the great, because it was the source of the great Kadamba masters or the Kadamba teachings, area where the, you know, where the Kadamba practitioners and the teachings were established.
When
Lama Tsongkhapa, you know, undertook the decision to put together this writing on the great exposition on the graduate path in enlightenment, then he began that by bringing the statue of Lama Atisha, before which he made the formal request, and in the course of that particular request, then it says that Lama Tsongkhapa saw the entire lineage of from the Buddha, saw the entire lineage of the masters, teachers, of the both of the two paths, both the extensive part of the method and the profound part of the wisdom. And he had the visionary experience of the entire lineage of the profound and extensive path from, and then he saw all of the lineage masters, one absorbing into the next. Eventually, what remained before him in his vision, great vision, was the four Kadamba masters, Atisha, Dumdumba, Bodhawa, and Sharawa. And he saw these four masters like for an entire month. And received teachings. At the end of the month, then the Sharawa, Bodhawa, and Dumdumba absorbed into Lama Atisha, and then Lama Atisha, placed the palm of his hand on Lama Tsongkhapa, and then he said to compose the writing, which will benefit both the Dharma and the sentient beings, and I will support you in this work, support you for it. So in this way, one can say also, Lama Tsongkhapa had the direct, blessing or the, inspiration from Lama Atisha as well. So in this way, one can say that from Lama, from Shakyamuni Buddha, from Shakyamuni Buddha to Lama Atisha, in between all the lineage masters, when they absorbed one into the other, then all of the entire lineage of the masters, inspiring Lama Tsongkhapa to compose the text. When we having this experience as his direct experience, then one can also say that the entire sphere of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas also you know, inspired or gave the blessing for the undertaking of this particular writing. So accordingly, in the Lamrim prayer, in the Lamrim prayer of the dedication, where there is one verse.
From the prayer, to spread Dharma, which comes into the Jyotsu. From the imminent action, connection of the Bhikkhus and the sons, well accomplished, well attained. The gradual path to enlightenment gives glorification and happiness in the mind of the seekers, mind of those who are seeking liberation. So that contains the story of this, what Rinpoche just said, that number of also all the Nishnamas and all those particular Skatamba, four Katamba, those Lamakisha and Dongdong Baba, the one Sarah, and then all after the Lamas have been blessed, blessed Namasankara. So also, you know, say the word supported, the definition of support, so that to contain that prayer.
Through this, we can get an understanding of the preeminent qualities of the teaching of this particular text or teaching on the gradual path to enlightenment. For one thing, this writing came about through the blessings or the inspirations of the entire lineage from the Buddha to Lama Atisha, and as well as the blessings and the inspiration of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And the subject matter it in itself contains the essence of the entire teachings of the Buddha, which is kind of put together in a graduated step-by-step practice.
So
in this way, we can have an idea of the preciousness of the teachings that we are receiving, how incredibly precious these teachings are. So it isn't sufficient that we have these very precious teachings. It isn't sufficient just that the teachings are just so precious, but one must also have the goodness of one's motivation. And as for explaining motivation, I don't need to go into that in detail. His Holiness has explained the kind of motivation that one should have over and over again like that. So basically, the essential motivation is to have the thought to attain enlightenment for the for the benefit of all mother sentient beings, to attain this enlightenment, and in order to attain this enlightenment most quickly, then I'm going to listen to the explanations given with regards to these teachings on the graduate path to enlightenment, and through these explanations of these teachings, to quick, to be able to quickly generate, you know, the realizations within one's mind. So that essentially to have this moderation. So when we take these teachings, then one should not set oneself apart from the teachings. The teachings and oneself should not be separate. You know, like you know, when we watch something, when we watch a movie, like that, or when we're looking at something, then what we're looking at and oneself are set apart. So when we take these teachings, it shouldn't be like that. You know, the teachings should not be regarded as something irrelevant to oneself, but rather, whatever explanations of the teachings one hears, then one should reflect upon them. Should be reflected within one's mind, whether you know, whether one's own thoughts and actions accord with these teachings or not. You know, so this is how one should take on these teachings, rather than setting oneself totally apart from these teachings. When one listens, when one listens to the teachings, in order to make it, order to make it worth one's while of having listened to the teachings, then it is important to ensure that one's way of thinking and acting, one's thoughts and actions, are harmonious with the teachings. You know, that they accord with the explanations of the teachings. If the way one is thinking or the way one is acting, if it is contradictory to the teachings, then one should make an effort to bring forth the changes. And if it, you know, if the way one thinks and acts is completely in accord with the teachings, then one should be completely, one should feel great joy, you know, rejoice that one's thoughts and actions accord with the teachings. And so, when we practice in this way, then that's the whole point of that's the whole point of listening to the teachings. So, in order to make effective this kind of this kind of transformation within our life, in order to be able to enable these kind of this kind of success of our thoughts and actions according with the teachings, then for that, what enables this is the practices of purification and accumulation of merit. Purification and accumulation of merit helps us to bring forth the changes within our thoughts and actions. So traditionally, before these teachings are given, there is a very extensive, elaborate way of practicing what is known as the preliminary practice, in a very melodious way and so forth. But since we don't have that kind of time, so something to set off these teachings, then we will do the Lama Chöpa Guru Puja tonight. And within the Lama Chöpa practice, Guru Puja practice, are all the points of the essential points of the practice, which completes both purification and accumulation of merit. And so you should make strong prayers, and I will also make strong prayers that in whatever explanations of the teachings on the Lama that I give becomes of benefit to them. Benefit to the Dharma and benefit to the sentient beings. And so you also, as we do the Lama Chöpa, then make strong requests, so that our mind becomes the Dharma, the Dharma becomes the path, and that our path becomes completely free of obstacles. So you make this request to Lama Tsongkhapa, the merit field, for whom you do the practices of the seven limb and so forth. So since we can't go through the preliminary practice jyotri on a daily basis prior to the teachings, so within the short condensed version of the lineage master's prayers, the main lineage masters that we focus on is the Shakyamuni Buddha, Maitreya and Manjushri, Nagarjuna and Asanga, Lama Atisha, Lama Tsongkhapa are the main verses that we will be doing prayers to. And you have the Kadamba Master and so forth. So as we do the verses that are attributed to these main lineage masters, then make strong prayers of request. And then as you visualize the lineage masters, then you visualize light and nectar rays flowing into you, purifying all of the obstacles, the interferences or obstacles, purifying all of that are a block to generating realization. Again, that gets completely purified. Again, you visualize light and nectar rays from the lineage masters, and that our mind stream is completely blessed to be able to generate the realizations of the graduate path to enlightenment. So we'll stop here and we'll end with the request that whatever has been explained up to this point, that you will apply it in your practice.